Okay, so Parshas Shmos. So Parshas Shmos, we know, begins Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael. These are the names of Bnei Yisrael that came to Mitzrayim, Yaakov, you know, and the sons, and so on. So there's a question that the Mefarshim deal with, is that why would we know this already? We know this already. Ready, Parshas Vayigash. We know Klal Yisrael went down. We know the names. This is unnecessary. The pasuk should just start. Ve'yomes Yosef v'chol achav v'chol adaruhu, and that's it. Bnei Yisrael parvishvitzu v'yakim al chodesh. What does it have to say? Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi already comments on this. Rashi says Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael. Rashi's bothered with why is this necessary. So Rashi says Afal pi shemanim b'chayehem. Even though Klal Yisrael were already counted already earlier when they were still alive when they went to Mitzrayim Parshas V'yigash. So Chazer Manav Miksasim, Hashem still counts them again. Lahidia Chibasam, in order to let us know how beloved they are. Shinishal Kichavim, Klal Yisrael compared to the stars, and the stars, it says in Pasuk, Hamaitzi B'mispar Tzavam, Lukulam B'Shem Yikra. Okay, so to show how much Hashem loves us, Hashem counts us again. So the Ramban says, that's true, Hashem does love us, and it's, that's definitely true. But it doesn't answer the full. It doesn't fully answer the problem. Why? Because he says that even if the pasuk wants to repeat again the names of Klal Yisrael to show how much Hashem loves us, what does it have to say? Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael. What's the extra vav? And these are the names. Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael. You want to say it again? So says Ramban. The pshat is like this. This pasuk Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael is very familiar. You already had this pasuk in Parshas Vayigash. When it begins to count the names of Yaakov and his family that came to Mitzrayim, so it literally says Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avonav, and it gives a little and it goes through the 70 the Shev Nefesh. Says the Ramban, this pasuk Ve'elah Shmos is cut and pasted. The pasuk is purposefully repeating the pasuk that was mentioned earlier. Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael Abayim Mitzrayim, because the pasuk wants to sort of like get back into it. You know, we just said Chazak Chazak for this Chazek. It's been a week already, so to sort of get back into the story of Geula, so the pasuk sort of like reminds us, or it's sort of to reconnect to what has been said. So it literally takes the pasuk in the end of Parshas Yigash, Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael b'Mitzrayim, and repeats it, and that's what's going on. If Ve'elah Shmos Bnei Yisrael is a repeat of that original pasuk in Parshas Yigash, to reconnect to what was said then, to further the story of Parshas Shmos. That's what Ramban says. And he says that's, you know, even though the counting of in Parshas Yigash goes through all 70, over here it doesn't go 70, because again, it's just saying enough to sort of get back us into the story. That's Ve'elah Shmos. That's the Ramban. And the Ramban does show that we have such an idea in other places in Tanakh, in Devar Yamim, Ezra Nechemiah. There's places like this where the pasuk repeats an earlier pasuk to sort of, you know, sort of get back into a story. So that's what's going on over here. The problem is, I mean, first of all, it's a pella. Even wherever the pasuk does that, it needs explanation. But over here, it's not like it interrupted with anything with too much else. You know, the whole story of Parshas Vayigash Vayechi was discussing this inyan of Klal Yisrael's descent in Mitzrayim and what happened over there. So Ve'elah Shmos is picking up from it right away. The pasuk has to repeat itself literally to sort of reconnect to what was going on in Sefer Bereishis. It needs an explanation. So, but again, that's the pshat of the Ramban. So you have to deepen that. Okay, when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu in the parsha, so we know that according to it's clear from the Pesukim, it's also from Chazal, is that the birth, the whole inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu was very much connected to his sister Miriam. Miriam was very much a part of Moshe Rabbeinu's birth and Moshe Rabbeinu's story, right? So Chazal say, the Gemara says in Saita, that Miriam had a nevuah, and she had a nevuah that there's going to be a redeemer born, and so Amram and Yocheb were very excited about that, obviously. And then when they had to put him into the Nile, into the river, and so on, so Amram and Yocheb were upset at Miriam. What happened to your Nevuah? We understand that Chazal say that Amram and Yocheved separated, right? And Miriam says, well, you know, your decision to do that is a worse gzera than Pare. Pare only had a gzera against the boys. You're having a gzera against the girls as well. So they decided to come back together. And from there comes Moshe Rabbeinu. So Miriam, and Miriam is watching from a distance. And yeah, like the Pasuk says, and she makes sure that Moshe Rabbeinu his mother comes back to nurse him. So what's this inyan of Moshe and Miriam? What's this connection? What is it? What's this role that Miriam has in Moshe Rabbeinu's life, in Moshe Rabbeinu's birth? So this needs explanation. A little bit later on, also when the Pasuk says, we know the story that of the Sneb, Bar Be'esh, the bush that's on fire. Moshe Rabbeinu is ready with in Midian and so on. That's the sign of Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim. So there's a Torah from Arizal. The pasuk says like this. A malach appear, there's the burning bush, and so it says like this. Vira Moshe says, "Asurna ve'eris amara gadol hazeh." Let me go see what's this amazing scene. Madula yivra sneh. So the pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem kisar lirois." Hashem saw that Moshe turned to see the burning bush. Vayikra levelukim, and Hashem calls out mitoich hasneh from the bush, and he says, "Vayar Moshe v'yareineni." So the conversation continues. Gula begins. What's this? The Arizal says, What's this pasuk? V'yar Hashem kisar liyos. Hashem saw that Moshe turned to see. The whole thing of the burning bush was to get Moshe's attention. Moshe Rabbeinu comes. Like, what is all it has to say? Moshe says, let me go see what's going on over there. And Hashem, and then the pasuk can say that Hashem calls out to Moshe from the burning bush. What's this in it? V'yar Hashem kisar liyos. So the Arizal has a tar. The Arizal says like this, that Moshe, V'yar Hashem kisar liyos, in those words is hinted a certain perspective Moshe Rabbeinu had, to which the Rabbanu Shloim shows him a different perspective. In other words, says the Arizal, Moshe Rabbeinu was expecting that the key to Geula would be through the name Yudkei Vavkei. That's the Arizal says. It would be through the name Yudkei Vavkei. Because of that, Yudkei Vavkei is Begmatria 26. So Moshe Rabbeinu understood and felt that if the Geula depends on the full unpackaging, so to speak, of that name Yudkei Vavkei, so Geula therefore should come after 26 times 10, 260 years, which is much the word Sar Samach Resh, Vayar Hashem Ki Sar Lirais, that Moshe Rabbeinu was coming with the perspective that Geula is going to take place after Sar, after Samach Resh, after 210. But Hashem reveals to Moshe Rabbeinu it's not true. In order for Geula to come, it's not dependent on Yudkei Vavkei times 10. The name is not going to be, the Geula is not going to come with Yudkei Vavkei. Geula comes with the name Eke. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says later on. What name is this happening? Because he was surprised it's coming, you know, 50 years early. So Hashem says to him, Eke, Asher Eke. So the name Eke, the name Eke is 21. 21 times 10 is 210. That's the amount of years that Geula was. That's what's going on. V'yar Hashem kisar lirois, that he's coming with this mistaken assumption that Geula depends on Sar, on 260. No, Geula depends on 210, not the name Havaya, but the name Eker. Okay, that's what the Rizal says. It's part of a longer tire. So the question for us is, what does that mean? What is this? What's this difference between Geula happening with the name Eker versus the name Yudkei Vavkei? What does it mean? Okay, so it's like this. You know, the Gemara says, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu is born, so the Gemara, the Pasuk says that they were able to hide him for 3 months. They hid him for 3 months. But after 3 months, they couldn't hide him, and so on. So, why couldn't they hide him after 3 months? Like, what happened after 3 months? So it's like this. We know the Gemara says in Saita like this: V'yelech ish mibeis Levi. When it introduces the birth of Moshe, it says V'yelech ish mibeis Levi v'yikach bas Levi. A man from the house of Levi marries a daughter from the house of Levi. So it's Amram and Yocheved. So the Gemara says in Saita, we know, I mentioned this before, that Miriam said that because the Gzeir of Paroi, so Amram and Yocheved separate, And whatchamacallit, and Miriam says to Amram that your gezeira is worse than Parah, v'chul. And so they decide to get back together. They listen to Miriam's advice, and they get remarried. Says the Gemara, that's the meaning of here, v'yelech ishmi beis levi, v'yikach spas levi. They just got remarried. In other words, they're married for a long time, Amram and Yechav. But this is talking about their second marriage. Amram and Yocheved got remarried. Says the Gemara, when they got remarried, so again, Yocheved was 130 at the time. She's very, very old. But says the Gemara, why is she called Bas Levi? Bas Levi sounds like she's very young. So says the Gemara, a miracle took place through the second marriage. She was Nischadish, her youth came back. So the Targum Unkelis, Targum Yosef Nuzil and other Midrashim say, and it was because of her sort of her youth coming back to her, that's exactly how she became pregnant with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is then she becomes pregnant after the second marriage. Ve'ilchish Beis Levi Gachs Bas Levi, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu is born premature. He's born only after 6 months. So that's why the Mitzrim are thrown off. They were expecting to do a search of the house 9 months after the second marriage. But he was born 6 months after the second marriage. And that's why for 3 months they were able to protect him. After 3 months they couldn't hide him anymore. And that's the rest of the story. So you see, so again, according to Targum Unkel, Targum Yosef ben Azil and other Midrashim, the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, how Yocheved becomes pregnant with Moshe Rabbeinu is because of this second marriage, because of the fact that they were divorced and remarried again, and that was mechadish within Yocheved her youth, and that's how she was able to become pregnant. So says Rav Tzadik. So Rav Tzadik has a Torah in Sefer Arzurel Tzadik. Rav Tzadik says like this, that this is Bashgacha Pratis. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the world, Davka because of his parents' divorce and then coming back together. Because again, if they never were separated, there would be no Lekuchim Shniyim, there would be no V'yikach Ish mi Beis Levi, V'yikach Es Bas Levi. And so there would be no youthful return of Yocheved. So says Rav Tzadik, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the world through this Mahalach, says Rav Tzadik, this is the side of what the Gemara says in Menachos. The Gemara says in Menachos and Daf Tzavitas on the base, the following idea. The Gemara says like this, Omer Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says is a klal. Pa'amim, sometimes, Shebitula Shel Torah Zeu Yisayda. The Bittul Torah, undermining Torah, is itself the foundation of Torah. Bitulus shel Torah zeu yisayda, dichsiv, says Rish Lakish, where do we see this from? Because it says in Pasuk regarding the breaking of the Luchas, Asha Shibarta, that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, let's redo the Luchas, make a second Luchas to replace the first ones that you broke. Amar Lagash Baruch Hu Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, what does it mean, Asha Shibarta? Yasher Kechacha Shibarta. Yashakach Shashibarta. So said Reish Lakish. So you see such an idea that Hashem is giving a Yashakach to Moshe Rabbeinu for breaking the Luchas. It means it's such an idea that Bitula Shel Torah, which means the breaking of the Luchas, that's an example of Bitul Torah, right, of undermining Torah. Zeu Yisayda, sometimes that becomes the foundation. So sometimes it's actually productive. So Hashem is saying that it was a productive thing, Yashakach Shashibarta. There was something productive in it. That's the sinning of Bitula Shel Torah, Zeu Yisayda, Zeu Kiyuma. There's other versions of how that's said. So says Rav Tzadik, this inyan of what? Of Bitula Zeu Kiyuma, Bitula Shel Torah, Zeu Yisayda, this idea of Rish Lakish is already hinted to in the very birth of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu comes into the world, Dafka, through his parents becoming separated, which is the opposite of his birth, of being able to have him, and then coming back together. That is the inyan of Bitula Shel Torah Zeu Yisayda Zeu Kiyuma. Okay, so let's investigate this. What's this inyan of Bitula Shel Torah Zeu Yisayda? The undermining of Torah could be the foundation of it. So on a simple level, that's usually interpreted as like, you know, if a person wants to learn, sometimes you need a break. right? So you have to like rejuvenate your energy. You take a nap, take a little vacation, and then you'll. But the Gemara, again, so there's certain truth to that, huh? They didn't like that idea. That happens, you know. That's the aside. Bitul shel Torah, that's usually the way it's interpreted. So, but we have to understand the oimik of this. The Gemara specifically, huh?
You read it
separately. Yeah, you said an idea. Yeah, Bitul shel Torah zel kiyuma. So the Gemara Reish Lakish specifically attaches it to Asher Shivarta, this inyan of the breaking of the luchas, of Yasher Koyach Shashivarta. So let's understand what this idiom of Yasher Koyach Shashivarta and how that sort of sheds light on this idea of Bitul Shel Torah Zeu Yisaida. By the way, before we get into that, it's another thing to point out, you know, the Rambam writes in Hilchas Malachim, the Rambam in Perek Tes in Hilchas Malachim talks about sort of the history of mitzvahs. We've mentioned this Rambam other times. The Rambam says that that Hashem first gave Adam six mitzvahs, and then he gave an additional Eivir Menachai, mitzvah of Eivir Menachai to Noach, and Avraham Avinu had Bris Milah, and Yitzchak and Yaakov, and he goes on. And then the Rambam says, I don't have it in front of me, the Rambam says Aloshin, and in Mitzrayim, there was mitzvah Yiseris given to Amram. Mitzvah Yiseris given to Amram in Mitzrayim. What are these mitzvahs Yiseris, these extra mitzvahs in Mitzrayim given to Amram? So, Mefarshim are not so clear what these mitzvahs are. But the Rogachover, for example, in Parshas Shmos, the Rogachover says these additional mitzvahs that were given to Amram were the mitzvahs of Gerushin and Nisuin. The concept of marriage existed, but they needed of Nisuin, of a chuppah. That's what the Gemara says in Saita, V'yikach, V'yelech, Yishmi V'yisla, V'yikach, Hespas Levi, that he made a chuppah for Yocheved. So this inyan of a chuppah of Nisuin, so Gidin and Kedushin, right. Gerushin and Nisuin. That's the chiddush that Amram had. So it's interesting. Again, we'll try to. The Nisuin, right? He was given Gerushin. That's exactly that's what we're going to see. So Dafka Moshe comes, and those are the. Now it's interesting. The Rambam highlights this, and the Rambam describes this with two things. The Rambam doesn't say exactly what the mitzvahs are, but he says in Mitzrayim, mitzvahs Yiseris were given to Amram. It's interesting that he calls them mitzvahs Yiseris. Yiseris usually means like extra, like unnecessary almost. It's interesting, like to describe mitzvahs like that. But he goes out of his way to say they were given in Mitzrayim, which is interesting. The Rambam doesn't say that the first six were given in Gan Eden. He doesn't say where the mitzvah of Mila was given to Avraham Avinu. All of a sudden with Amram, the Rambam highlights that whatever mitzvahs were given to him, which the Rogachover says was Gerushin and Nisuin, was specifically given in Mitzrayim. Like, okay, that's where Amram lived. I mean, I don't know so what does Rambam have to say that? So it's interesting. Again, but going back. So again, says the Gemara, again, Rav Tzadik said, the Indian of Moshe Rabbeinu coming into the world, Davka, through the Gerushin, of Amram and Yecheved, and only then coming back together, is the site of Bitula Zeu Kiyuma, that Bitul Torah sometimes is, to a certain degree, the foundation of Torah. Bitula Zeu Kiyuma, and as the Gemara says in Menachos, that's the inyan of the breaking of the Luchas. Yasher Koyach Shashivarta is specific with that language of Yasher Koyach Shashivarta. So if we understand a little bit of this inyan of Bitula Zeu Kiyuma, and the context of the second of the breaking of the Luchas, that'll explain the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll be able to understand a little bit of the parasha. So it's like this. This inyan of Bitula Zeu Kiyuma. So there's a Torah from Rav Nachman in Likut Maran. And this we'll be able to understand it better. So there's a Torah from Rav Nachman in Likut Maran Ayin Ches, Chelik Beis Ayin Ches. We've spoken about this idea before. Rav Nachman talks about the phenomenon of Bitul Torah, this phenomenon of the reality of life that a person is unable to learn 24/7. This idea of Bitulo Zeu Kiyuma is built into the system. Rav Nachman says it's an impossibility for a person to learn all day. So even a person wants to and tries to, there's always going to be, out of necessity, built into the system, a reality of Bitul Torah, of not being able to learn constantly. And so Rav Nachman in this piece is asking the question, why did Hashem make it like that? If the source of life is Torah, the source of life is Torah, why would the Rabbanu Shalom make it that a person is unable to learn constantly? more than, and the question is deeper, says Nachas. It's not only a question of like, why would the Rabbanu Shalom do that? Those moments when a person is not learning, where is the chiyus, where is the life force coming from? Where is it coming from? So Rav Nachman has a tar like this. Rav Nachman says, is that the source of life is always the words of Torah. So what happens when a person is pashut not learning? So he says like this. Trying to get the language. So again, Rav Nachman says that, so where does the chiyus come from when a person is not learning? That moment of bittul. So Rav Nachman says the chiyus is coming from also Torah. But it's coming from the same dimension of Torah that existed before Kabbalah Torah. That's where you're getting your chiyus from when you're not learning. In other words, Rav Nachman explains that when the Rabbanu Shalom created the world was created by Asara Maris with 10 utterances, right? Breishis, Yihyar, Tadshiar, and so on. So said Rav Nachman, even before the Torah was given, the Torah still existed, but the Torah was mislabish, was enclosed and disguised in Maaseh Breishis, in the words of creation itself, in the words of creation itself. And this was the source, and this Torah, the Torah that of creation, the Torah that's part of creation itself, this was the Torah that existed, that was the only layer of Torah accessible before Matan Torah, before the giving of the Torah. And he says, even after the giving of the Torah, it's that dimension of Torah that's part and parcel of creation itself, that's the words of creation, that's Maaseh Breishis, the Torah that's woven into creation itself. That's the source of chiyus that a person has when they're not able to learn. That's where the Torah that a person draws chiyus from during a time, quote unquote, of Bittul Torah, is the Torah that's mislabish, that's contained in Maaseh Breishis itself. Says Rav Nachman, and there's something that's productive with this. What's productive? Says Rav Nachman, this Torah that you're connecting to, which is part of Maaseh Breishis, which you have no choice but to connect to during a time of Bittul Torah, says Rav Nachman, this is a Torah that puts you on a path that's called Derech Eretz Yisrael. It puts you on a path that's called the way towards Eretz Yisrael. In other words, we know that Chazal say, Ein Torah Ketaras Eretz Yisrael, Avir Eretz Yisrael Machim. There's a certain, the highest madrega of Hasagas HaTorah is Davka HaTorah of Eretz Yisrael. So it says Rav Nachman introduces us to this idea, is that okay, so that's the goal. So even when a person is learning, the goal is to learn Eretz Yisrael, to have Torah Eretz Yisrael. But in order to have that, you have to have a path towards Eretz Yisrael. So says Rav Nachman, the path towards Eretz Yisrael is the Torah that a person is connected to Davka when they're not learning. When they're not able to learn. So there's sort of three types of Torah. There's Torah that you're learning, but that's really Chutz La'aretz Dikur Torah. And then there's the Torah that you really want to get to, which is called Torah Eretz Yisrael. And the way to get to Torah Eretz Yisrael is what's called Derech Eretz Yisrael. And the way to, and that Derech Eretz Yisrael means the Torah that's mislabish, that's enclosed, that is Maaseh Breishis, that is the Torah that creates physical reality, that creates life. That is the Torah that you need to connect to in order to find your way to Eretz Yisrael. That's called Derech Eretz Yisrael. The Torah that creates Chaim.
The lack of Eretz Yisrael is what helps you get to Eretz
Yisrael. So you have to be in Chutzar. You have to be in Derech Eretz Yisrael to get to Eretz Yisrael. So, and Rav Nachman goes on to say that this is connected to the first Rashi in Chumash. Says Rashi, the first Amar Yitzchak, why the Torah start with Breishis? All you need is Achadish Elechem, get started with Torah Mitzvahs, Parshas Blood. Says Rashi, Koyach Ma'asav Higed La'amai, Losses L'Nachlis Chaim. The Rabbanu Shloim wants to give us Sefer Breishis in order to teach us koyach mas of higel amai, to teach us the koyach of his actions, in other words, the strength of Hashem in terms of creation, in order to give us the a land that's occupied by Goyim, in order to give us Eretz Yisrael. Says Rashi, because the nations of the world are going to say, listen at them, you're a bunch of thieves. You stole the land from us. So what's our response going to be? Oh, our response is going to be, see, gracious, Hashem created the world. If Hashem created the world, so it's up to Him. So He gave it to you for the time being the land, and now He gives it to us. So all of Sefer Bereishis is in order to give us the ability to respond to the Goyim when they ask us, when they claim listen at them. And so that's the meaning. Koyach Masav Higel Amay Lassus Lam Nachlas Goyim. So says Rav Nachman, that in of Koyach Masav Higel Amay Lassus Nachlas Goyim is Derech Eretz Yisrael. The way to have Eretz Yisrael and to overcome the Taina of listen at them, that's what Sefer Bereishis is about. So Sefer Bereishis, what's Sefer Bereishis? Sefer Bereishis is the Torah it's Torah that is in the that takes on the form that's mislabish and Ma'aser Bereishis. That's what Sefer Bereishis is, and the purpose of Sefer Bereishis is Koyach Masav Higel Amay in order to allow us to get to Eretz Yisrael. That is what Sefer Bereishis is. Says Rav Nachman, that's the Torah that a person is connecting to when they're not able to openly learn. But they're connected to life. They're taking care of their bodily functions. They're taking care of why is the person not learning? Person that learning is because they have to take care of parnasa, their family, they have to take care of themselves. So that's called that's bittul Torah. But they're involved with ma'aser Bereishis. They're involved with physical life in order to function. Well, that means that they're connecting to the Torah of Sefer Bereishis. They're connecting to the Torah of ma'aser Bereishis, whose purpose is koyach masav higel amay lassus lam nachlas goyim. This inyan of koyach masav higel amay lassus nachlas goyim, which is the Torah of Derech Eretz Yisrael, is exactly what the inyan of bitula zeu kiyuma that the Gemara says in Menachos, which is what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, yasher koyach sheshibart. That koyach masav higel amay, which is the Torah of Sefer Bereishis, the Torah of that's mislabish in Derech Ateva, which is the Derech Eretz Yisrael, that's exactly the inyan of Yasher Koyach Sheshibarta. The Shviras Haluchos was also a bittul Torah that was in order to allow us to get Eretz Yisrael mamish. What do I mean? When you compare the first Luchos and the second Luchos, we know according to Chazal, one of the fundamental differences between the first and second Luchos is that the first Luchos was primarily connected to the inyan of Torah Shebichsav. And the second Luchos is the inyan of Torah Shebaal Peh. There's a Medrash in Tanchuma like that, that the second, even though there was going to be Torah Shebaal Peh also with the first Luchos, but it would have been in a very simplified version and sort of part really primarily of Torah Shebichsav. But the inyan of Torah Shebaal Peh, that's really by the second Luchos. The second Luchos, this dynamic between Torah Shebichsav, first Luchos, Torah Shebaal Peh, second Luchos, is also very much connected to first Beis Hamikdash and second Beis Hamikdash. First Beis Hamikdash is a time of Torah Shebichsav. That's more first Luchos. Second Beis Hamikdash is Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the era of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the second Luchos. Now, it's interesting. Which tekufa between first Beis Hamikdash and second Beis Hamikdash did the Jewish people have a deeper acquisition in Eretz Yisrael? Which one gives us more a more acquisition of Eretz Yisrael? First Luchos or second Luchos? First Beis or second Beis? The answer is no, the second. Why? The Rambam says, the Gemara says like this, the first Beis HaMikdash is called Kedusha Rishayim. That time period of Yeshua Ben Nun, when he comes into Eretz Yisrael, that Indian, that era, is Kedusha, it's called the first Kedusha of the land. Kedusha Rishayim, a Kitch L'Shaita, but Loi Kitch L'Asilavai, after the Churban Bayis Rishon, Eretz Yisrael lost its Kedusha. Why? Says the Rambam, because the first Kedusha, which was through Yeshua Ben Nun, in the era of Torah Shebichsav, which is the first Luchos, that the Kedusha was generated by Kibush, by the conquest of Yeshua Ben Nun, by conquering the land. Well, if that's where the source of the Kedusha comes, when Klal Yisrael is conquered, so the Kedusha goes away. But says the Rambam, but the second Aliyah of Ezra, with the second Beis HaMikdash, that Kedusha that's generated by the second Aliyah, that lasts forever. Eretz Yisrael is still sanctified because of that. Why? Says the Rambam, because the second conquest didn't come, the second Kedusha didn't come from conquest, from military conquest. There was no military conquest by the second Beis HaMikdash. It came from the Jewish people just settling in the land. Chazaka, by the Jewish people just settling in the land. The settlement of the Jewish people by the second Beis HaMikdash, that's what created the Kedusha. And that Kedusha continues on. The Jewish people have never left. So it comes out that when you compare the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash, which one has more of a kinyan in Eretz Yisrael? Second Beis HaMikdash, because it's kinyan chazaka, not kibush. The first and second Beis HaMikdash means first luchas and second luchas, teresh b'chsav, teresh b'al peh. It means the actual deeper acquisition of Eretz Yisrael is the second luchas. The way as Reb Nachman said, bitula zeu kiyuma, right, means the Jewish people's ability of koyach masiv higel amay losses nachlas goyim to get Eretz Yisrael. Says the Gemara, the Indian of bitula zeu kiyuma is brought out by the breaking of the first luchas of yasher koyach shashivart. This is the same Indian that koyach masiv higel amay losses nachlas goyim, which is the ability bitula zeu kiyuma, is getting us Eretz Yisrael, and you see that with Bitul Zeh Kiyum in terms of breaking the first luchas and having the second luchas, that the second luchas get us Eretz Yisrael. So that's Bitul Zeh Kiyum. That's Bitul Zeh Kiyum. That's why it's you know, ends and beginnings are tied to each other. The first Rashi in Chumash in Parshas Bereishis is Koyach Masav Higalam Lasses Nachlas Goyim. The last Rashi in Chumash. Is it says in Pasuk that the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu is La'enei Kol Yisrael, something that he did in front of the Jewish people. It says Rashi, that's talking about the breaking of the Luchos, where Hashem said, Yashakach Shashibarta. So the last Rashi is highlighting the ending of the breaking of the Luchos, which is Yashakach Shashibarta, that Hashem says to Moshe, oh, the bitul tar that you just did with the breaking of the first Luchos is now allowing the full acquisition of Eretz Yisrael, because now that you have this bitul Torah, of the first luchais, now there's the Bittul Torah gives the Jewish people, forces us into this dynamic of Derech Eretz Yisrael, thus giving us Eretz Yisrael, and that's exactly what Sefer Bereishis is about. That's Koyach Masav Higel Amay. That's Bereishis Bar Elokim. That's what Bereishis is. So let's understand this. What is this Madrega of Taras Eretz Yisrael that in order to get there has to be this sort of process of bitula zeu kiyuma, which is the derech Eretz Yisrael, which is through the breaking of the luchos, which is tarash bal peh as opposed to tarash b'chsav. So here's the nakuda. Taras Eretz Yisrael, what's the difference between taras chutzlars and taras Eretz Yisrael? So Rav Cook, for example, talks about this a lot. One of the fundamental difference between taras chutzlars and taras Eretz Yisrael is Taras Chutz La'aretz is a Torah that's a concept, like conceptual ideas. There's like reality. Reality is our reality. And then there's sugyas, you know, there's an idea of learning, there's an idea of holy things. It's a concept. These are concepts. What's Taras Eretz Yisrael? Taras Eretz Yisrael is where the same way how this table is a reality, Torah is a reality, where Torah is a mitzias, Kedusha is a mitzias, Torah is a mitzias, Tachazit, it's a mitzias. It's something that's mamish, even more tangible than the table. That's the inyan of Torah Eretz Yisrael, is where the mitzias itself, where Torah is allowed in to our lives, where it's able to move from just a concept into something that's real. It becomes the real world, right? So that's why even on a very simple level, right? In Eretz Yisrael, we're able to be mekayim all the mitzvahs. We're able to be mekayim everything, the poil. In Chutz La'aretz, we learn about it. You know, your Isaac, the Gemara says, whoever learns about Karban is keilu you brought them. Your Isaac in this halacha, it's as if you did it, but it's only keilu. But that it should be mamish, that's Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael, the inyan of Taras Eretz Yisrael means a Torah that is tangible, a Torah that's real. The Elokus that we're learning about, the Rabbanu Shalom that we're speaking about in learning, in Chutz La'aretz is an idea. In Eretz Yisrael, it becomes the reality. It means that if that's the goal, which is Torah's Eretz Yisrael, then the Derech to Eretz Yisrael means to become comfortable and to sort of work through this inyan that Torah is contained in reality, in Maisa Bereishis. In other words, this inyan that Maisa Bereishis has within it, Torah, That is the hachana necessary in order to then be zaycha to actually experience Torah as a tangible reality. The hachana for that, the avoida leading to that, is an avoida of finding Torah in physical life, in the reality that you're engaged in, to believe that the reality the mitzias that you're experiencing is contained within that words of Torah, that everything that you're experiencing is the Dvar Hashem, everything you're experiencing is being created from the Torah. And so when that avoida, that process of bitula zeu kiyuma, of derech Eretz Yisrael, prepares the soul and prepares the Jewish people to then be able to experience Torah's Eretz Yisrael, which is that same reality which you have been sort of believing until now, that all of physical life is coming from the Dvar Hashem, then you'll be able to experience the Dvar Hashem as such. So this is the process. So in Torah's Chutz La'aretz means there's physical life, which is just plain physical life, dead. And then there's Torah, which is just ideas. Torah's Eretz Yisrael means, no. Torah's Eretz Yisrael means that the Torah that I'm learning is mamish, a tangible reality. Mamish, a tangible reality. That the reality I'm experiencing is shining with the Dvar Hashem. The preparation for that, the in-between, is to be forced into a matziv of where you have no choice but to engage in physical life. That's bitula. But you're forced to exercise those muscles of emunah and bitachin, to believe and to know that same reality that you're being forced to engage with is created by Hashem, is being guided by Hashem. You're forced to find Hashem in the physical life, in the physical world, in real life. And by working on that, by working on those emunah muscles, then you're zaycha to Taras Eretz Yisrael, which is then the light's going back on, and then you realize that the mitzias itself that you were engaged with is mamish the Dvar Hashem, and the Dvar Hashem is mamish the tangible reality. And so this is the process of, this is why it's specifically connected to Torah Shebaal Peh. Because what's the difference between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh? Torah Shebichsav is just an overwhelming light. It's not a light that changes reality. It's like a Navi becomes a Navi, it's like the body of a Navi, the human side of the Navi is unchanged. It's just overwhelmed by the spirit of Nevuah. That's not the model of Taras Eretz Yisrael. Taras Eretz Yisrael means that the physical vessel itself, the physical Mitzias, is completely completely reoriented to be a reality of Torah. That's what Torah Eretz Yisrael is. And so Torah Shebichsav doesn't have that quality. Torah Shebaal Peh has that quality. Because what's Torah Shebaal Peh? Is the human side of the Talmud Chacham becoming a vehicle and becoming a voice for Hashem, of Torah. So Torah Shebaal Peh has that quality. That's the difference. Why the first Beis HaMikdash, which is the first Luchos, which is Nevuah, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael came with conquest. And that's why, when the conquest is undermined, the Kedusha is undermined. But the second Beis HaMikdash, which is the era of Torah Shebaal Peh, where does the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael come from? Not from conquest, but from settling. Where the land becomes inhabited. Where the land itself becomes changed. Because this is the difference. Again, it's Dafka Torah Shebaal Peh that has this quality to it to completely change the nature and the molecular structure, so to speak, of physical reality, where the physical reality itself becomes shining with the Dvar Hashem. This is the ultimate goal of what Torah Eretz Yisrael is. That's and again, the hachana for that is bitula zeu kiyuma, is being forced to engage with physical reality instead of being able to escape into the concepts of Torah's Chutz La'aretz in order to graduate to Torah's. And this is the idea. Torah's Chutz La'aretz means the material, the molecular structure of life is not being changed. It's being overwhelmed by an idea. You're just sort of disengaging from the molecular structure of life to escape to some ideas. That's very, very nice, but that's, but you're not the true identity of Torah has not yet emerged, because the Torah is just concepts at that point. The goal is where the molecular structure of reality is able to be shown as literally the shining light of Torah itself. But and that's really what Torah Sheba'al Peh ultimately brings us to. That's the full acquisition of Eretz Yisrael. That's Torah's Eretz Yisrael. But in order to get there, there has to be this period forcing the Jew out of the concept zone into reality zone. That's called Bittul Torah. But that Bittul Torah forces the Jew into engaging with the molecular structure, so to speak, of physical life. But this Jew is, you know, trying to hold on to himself. And so therefore, he's coming with emunah and bitachin that the Rabbanu Shem was with me and everything is created by Hashem. Sefer Breishis. Ultimately then allowing the Torah to begin to shine through the molecular structure of life that he's engaging with by believing the Torah is there also. And then that itself becomes the path to Eretz Yisrael, which is Eretz Yisrael itself. Huh? It's Memela, because that's what you're discovering. It's Derech Eretz Yisrael.
What's the difference between Derech Eretz Yisrael and Torah's Eretz Yisrael?
Torah's Eretz Yisrael is the Derech Eretz Yisrael fully unpackaged is Torah's Eretz Yisrael. Derech Eretz Yisrael means to believe that the Torah is in Maaseh Bereishis, and when that becomes clear and apparent and experiential, that's Eretz Yisrael. You're literally turning Chutz Laretz into Eretz Yisrael. That's the Derech Eretz Yisrael.
So
we're gonna get there. So let's go back. So this is the aside. That's why. Let's go back. So Moshe Rabbeinu was born, not stam from parents. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in this way of his parents becoming separated and then brought back together again. Bitula ze okuma. Because this is what's being established from the very beginning, which is that the goal of Moshe Rabbeinu is not to give us Torah's Chutz La'aretz, but to give us Torah's Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, means what does it mean Torah's Eretz Yisrael? It means a Torah that's real, a Torah that's tangible, a Torah that's shining through the molecular structure of reality. That the tangible reality that you experience should be experienced as the shining light of Hashem. That's the goal. That's what Torah's Eretz Yisrael is. But in order to get there, there has to be, again, as we said, this middle madrega that's called Derech Eretz Yisrael, this situation of where the Jew is forced to engage with the molecular structure of life and to start believing that reality that you're dealing with, that you're engaged with, is the Dvar Hashem too. Although it doesn't feel that way and it doesn't seem that way, but that engagement and that emuna will eventually break through that the surface, and the Dvar Hashem will begin to shine forth, which is Eretz Yisrael. It's literally finding Eretz Yisrael in that process. And so this is the ending of Amram and Yocheved separating, again, like Rav Tzadik said, the Bitula Zeo Kiyuma that produces Moshe Rabbeinu. The Moshe Rabbeinu has to come into the world in such a way. That's why the Chiddush, the Nekuda that was Nischadish by Amram in order to bring Moshe into the world wasn't just Gerushin, but it was Nesuin. We mentioned this in other times, that, you know, the Stipler writes this in Kiel Siakov, that what's the difference between Kedushin and Nesuin? So he says, in terms of the process of marriage, the Stipler writes this, that Kedushin is a din. Kedushin is a din. It means boy and girl are still just boy and girl. But there's a halachic stat, there's a halachic rule, there's a din that says, okay, that she can't get married to anyone else, and there's certain responsibilities, it's a din.
It's also to him as well.
Yeah, right. It's a din. But that's all it is. The chiddush of Nisuin is, Nisuin means there's now a mitzias of husband and wife. A mitzias of husband. That's why there's many, we spoke about this once before, that many Rishonim hold that you can actually do Nisuin before Kedushin. It doesn't kick in until then you do Kedushin. It's retroactive, but there's an inning of Nisuin, because it's a different thing. There's the halachic reality that's called Kedushin. But then there's the tangible mitzias down here, lamatim asar tvachim bepoil, that it's husband and wife. They're living in the same house. That's nesuin. That's Nisum. That inyan of a halachic ruling becoming tangible reality, that was a chiddush that Amram brought into the world in order to bring Nishmas Moshe into the world. Because, yeah, Davki Mitzrayim, that's the point, because it's Derech Eretz Yisrael. It's Derech Eretz Yisrael. And so that's what's going on over here. That's what the Rambam says. Well, that's the Rambam saying, that in Mitzrayim, Mitzvah Yisayrus, why is Rambam called this Mitzvah Yisayrus? Mitzvah Yisayrus almost is like sounding almost unnecessary. It's like extra. It'd be Tula Zokiyuma. That's the mitzvahs that Amram is bringing to us are mitzvahs that in the regular way of thinking are unnecessary. Who needs Bittul Torah? You'd rather just to be able to learn all day. No. So it seems like unnecessary, but that's the chiddush. The unnecessary times, which are called Bitula Zeu Kiyuma, that's what Amram is introducing to us, and that results. The embracing that mitzias of Bitul Zeu Kiyuma results in Torah's Eretz Yisrael, which is a tangible, real, like three-dimensional reality of Torah. Because what happens is, again, that you've been forced to find the Dvar Hashem in nature. That's what Bitul Torah forces a person to do. And when you're doing that, then you begin to become sensitized to the Dvar Hashem in nature, to the point of where nature itself is then experienced as a Dvar Hashem. Boom, 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 that's Torah's Eretz Yisrael. And so this is the process that's going on over here. This is why, ultimately, Yetzias Mitzrayim is for what purpose? Like so it says in Pasuk, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Zelecha Eizken, Eichi Shlachticha, Tavdun Eslakim Alarez, in order to get the Torah. So it's like, so why do you have to go through this whole inyan of Galus Mitzrayim in order to just let the Rosh Hashanah give us the Torah finished? So there has to be this inyan of being in Ervas Haaretz, this place, the place that's anti-Torah, the place that's anti-Kedusha, in order to then be Zaycha to Kedusha. The answer is the whole inyan is Bitul Zeu Kiyuma. It's the whole inyan of Golos Mitzrayim is like that. It means the whole inyan of Golos Mitzrayim is to redeem the words of Torah that are mysteriously hiding in Sefer Bereishis. That's the goal. The goal of Geula of Sefer Shemais is not just like a Geula to get the Torah. It's a Torah that we're discovering in my Sebrachis, because that's Torah Eretz Yisrael, and that's exactly why. So we started with a question: Why does Sefer Shemais have to start with a pasuk that's cut and pasted from Sefer Bereishis? The answer is because that's the goal over here. Sefer Shemais is about a Sefer of Geula. Like the Ramban writes in his introduction to Sefer Shemais, Gula means to receive the Torah in Har Sinai and to be Zaycha, to experience, to be Merkava for Hashem, to have Hashem's presence. But what Madrega of Torah? What Madrega of Hashem's presence? In concept or in Mamish tangible reality? The answer is, the goal is tangible reality. The goal is Torah Eretz Yisrael. Well, that means that you have to, that means the Torah of Sefer Bereishis experienced. That's what it means. I mean, so that inyan of Bitula Zeu Kiyuma, which is Maaseh Bereishis, that itself is the derech in order to get to Eretz Yisrael. So Sefer Shemois can't be a standalone Zach. It has to be flowing from Sefer Bereishis, because that's the type of Torah that we're trying to reach, which is a Torah that reveals, that makes the Torah of Maaseh Bereishis tangible. Because that's the idea. We're trying to experience Torah through Maaseh Bereishis, not as a standalone concept outside of Maaseh Bereishis, through Maaseh Bereishis. So Shemais, which is the Sefer of Geula, which is the giving of the Torah, has to be found within Sefer Bereishis. This is the inyan of why Geulas Mitzrayim has to be with the name Eke and not the name Yudke Vavke. In the language of the Arizal, the fundamental difference between the name Eke and the Yudke Vavke is that the name Yudke Vavke always means R. It means light. It means neshama. The name Eke means kelim. It means vessels. It means vessels. Eke means the levush, the garments, and through which Yudke Vavke is able to be packaged. So says Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, the geula is not going to be with Yudke Vavke. That's not a geula. What the Rabbanu Shalom wants is a geula that is the reorientation of the kelim. The Rabbanu Shalom wants the molecular structure of reality to be altered in such a way where the Devar Hashem shines within it and shines through it.
Huh?
Exactly. Exactly. Not, and it's not consuming it. It's not destroying it. It becomes, yeah, it becomes part of the bush. Huh? Yeah, it's the same thing in Chanukah. So that's what the Shalheves, right? The Labasesh. So that's what's going on over here. That's why the gula has to be Davka in such a way. The questions did I forget to answer? I can't remember. Okay. So that's, oh, Miriam. Why Miriam? Miriam, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu's his whole life is associated with Miriam is because in the language of the Arizal, in the Kisvei Ari, Miriam is associated with Eretz Yisrael. Miriam is the Be'er of Miriam, the well of Miriam. That's the Nekeva, the female, which is Miriam. She's associated with Eretz Yisrael. And so it's Dafka Miriam that brings Moshe sort of, it creates the space in which Moshe Rabbeinu could come to the world to guarantee that when Moshe comes to the world, which is Torah, it should be a Torah that is oriented towards the goal being Torah Eretz Yisrael. That's what Miriam. That's why the well of Miriam, that was the well that was supposed to take us into Eretz Yisrael. It didn't. So Moshe Rabbeinu tried to recreate it by hitting the rock. He's supposed to talk to the rock. That's also the difference between hitting the rock and talking to the rock. Hitting the rock means overwhelming it. Talking to the rock means allowing the rock to give over its own waters. That's what the well of Miriam was really about, which is the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people weren't ready for that, so they were still holding by Torah Chutz La'aretz. Yeah, Torah Shebal Peh, exactly, to speak to the rock. That was in it. The staff was more Torah Shebal Chasad. That's why he couldn't, right? Because it was missing that inyan of Torah Eretz Yisrael. Again, why didn't they weren't zeichet to it? Okay, that's a shmuz for a different time. But Al Kapanim, that's what Miriam means. So it's Dafka Miriam that brings Moshe into the world to make sure that the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu brings us is ultimately a Torah that is not satisfied with remaining a concept, but rather a Torah that ultimately whose goal is to shine forth through reality itself, which is Torah Eretz Yisrael, which demands an acceptance that there's going to be times of Shviras Aluchas, there's going to be times of Bitul Torah, and times where you're forced to engage with Maisa Breishis, because only with engaging with Maisa Breishis are you preparing Maisa Breishis to shine forth with the light of Hashem that's found there, only by engaging with it and believing and cultivating and sort of coaxing the light of Torah out of Maisa Breishis and allowing it to shine forth through engaging it in such a way, through Emunah Bitachon in Hashem, when things are more bitula, that type of matziv. And that's exactly what Sefer Breishis is, and that's why the Geula is a Geula of Sefer Breishis. You're redeeming the Torah that was contained in Maaser Breishis, you're allowing it to shine forth. That's why Sefer Shemais, like I said, has to start with a pasuk from Sefer Breishis. That's what the Ramban is telling us. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu brings us. And again, that's the ending of the second luchas of Torah Shebal Peh. That's Bitula Zeokiuma. That's the Koyach Mas of Higel Amai of Yasha Koyach Shashibarta with Koyach Mas of Higel Amai of the end of Sefer Breishis of La'ene Kol Yisrael. That's why the breaking of the luchas is hinted to with those words of La'ene Kol Yisrael, that we saw it. Like, why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to break the luchas in front of our eyes? Why couldn't he just like give us a Musa Shmuz and say, Yidden, do you have any idea? You just like shattered the higher worlds. The answer is because the whole inning of he wanted to show us that it should be tangible. You should be able to see with your own eyes what it means to a broken universe. And as instead of him, Moshe Ben just saying, says in Svarim, state in Svarim that you're just makalkal in Yonim, he says, I'm not telling you state in Svarim. I'm showing you in your eyes tangibly the shards of the luchas and showing you how it just fell into pieces, because that's the inyan of bitula zeo kiyuma, ultimately resulting in a Torah that's not shteit in svarim, a Torah that's mamish tangible and real. That's Torah Eretz Yisrael. That's yashar koyach shashibarta. Again, that's why it has to be le'ene kol Yisrael. Hashem should bless us, Taka. We should be zeichet to be able to redeem not just ourselves and not just Torah, but to redeem the Torah from Eisa Breishis and to be able to properly get back to Eretz Yisrael. There's been enough Bittul Torah and all for all of us. Befrat the Bechlau, we should be zeichet to get to Eretz Yisrael again. V'yis Kol Tzadik Rachim Eirim Eino Amen.